Let's make Sister Carrie welcome this morning. She comes to sing for us. Come on, Spirit. I'm not doing this by myself, so let's get up and do this. We're gonna do it.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. The precious blood of the Lamb.
Give me some music up. A little music up.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, oh, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Good, good singing. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, if you've experienced Jesus Christ, you understand that power. It was mentioned this morning in Sunday school about how sometimes people pray and they say, you know, I've been praying and I've prayed and it just don't seem like God hears me. What you need to pray, number one, is to know that you're saved by the grace of God. You know, see, if you don't have a relationship with Him, you got to first know Him. And if you know Him as your Savior, then you can start a relationship and you can talk to Him. But that's the first prayer. And you know, that's the most important thing. And I'll tell you what kind of God I serve. The God I serve can easily, very quickly, heal every disease. He could. And, you know, He could answer every prayer request. But if the Lord healed every disease, there'd be something else. And we're not going to be on this life, on this earth forever. The most important prayer any person, any time we could ever pray or any prayer request would be that a person would be saved by the grace of God. See, because even Lazarus, when he cried, Lazarus come forth, and he came out, there was a time when Lazarus died again. Because that wasn't the eternal resurrection, that was just bodily. That was just a sign to let you and I know that He can cry, children come forth. And He's going to do that one day. He's going to. I'm thankful that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that Jesus saves. I want to preach this morning out of Luke chapter number 12. We're going to read starting in the 13th verse. If you'd like to stand with us and we'll read the scripture, then we're going to pray. And I'm going to try to deliver to you the things that God has put on my heart. I was talking to Brother Russell Tisson this morning. We were talking about, you know, the dilemma sometimes as a preacher. Here's kind of where you're at. You're saying, oh Lord, please give me something. You know, you just want God to move. You want God to show you what it is and build that fire. And, you know, I like for God to give me a week or two. Just let me stew on a message and study on it. Sometimes He gives me a week or two to stew on it. And then right at the last minute, He said, ha-ha, that's not it. And He says, go back to that. I come in here this morning. I didn't know I had two. And I had to pray right to the last minute that God would show me. And, you know, I'd rather it be that way than come in here and walk up here behind. You know, and I have had to walk up here behind and be sweating, little drops of sweat coming down, knowing I had to stand and God wouldn't give it to me till the last minute. He said, well, how do you do that? I'll tell you what you do. You depend on God, man. And I am dependent. I want to tell you something, folks. I don't care who the preacher is or how long they've been preaching. Nobody can do it without the Lord. It takes God. Let's look into the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter number 12, beginning in the 13th verse. It says, and one of the company said unto him, speaking to Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build bigger or greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, if you read that scripture just in itself and look at the context of it, it's very, very powerful. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we pray that you'd open up this scripture to us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Lord, anoint my heart, my lips, everything that's said, that it would be said for your honor and glory. Lord, that someone here might hear the word, that it might go all the way down into their heart, and if they don't know you as their personal Savior, God, that is my prayer. Lord, I'd rather see somebody be saved, Lord, and see somebody go out of this church this morning, Lord, that's just rich in this life, but not rich in eternity. God, we want to praise you. We want to give you the glory for all that's done, that you'd be lifted up. And when people would go away, they'd talk about how great you are. This we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message to you today about stuff. And I want you to think about your stuff for just a minute. I got a lot of stuff at my house. In fact, I got so much stuff in the garage, my wife has to park out on the driveway. Okay, and sometimes this is just the way it is. I've got so much stuff that I can't hardly get the door to the garage shut. You know, I've had Brother Matt Runyon come over to my house, and I get, you know, my boys, we like to ride four-wheelers and motorcycles, and I'll get four-wheelers and I'll fix them up, and sometimes I got so many of them I'm having to work a puzzle just to get them in the garage. Okay, I got a boat back then over on one side, and, you know, it's got to stay out of the rain. I can't let it out. Put the cars outside. Okay, and the garage is full. You go in to the basement, and we've got what I used to call the man cave. The truth is now it's a playroom and a game room because kids have took it over. You know, my daughter, it was her room, and she moved out, and I thought I'd have me a spot. Okay, but I'll tell you, it's full of stuff. Now, in there, I got a safe, and that's, I'm just going to be honest with you, that safe got so full that I had to get another one. I had stuff stuck over here and stuff stuck over there and stuff stuck over here. And you come upstairs to where my chair is at, and my wife could attest to this. Right beside my chair, I have my basket. It's got all my magazines in it, and I purge the basket once the stack gets so high that they start falling out on the floor. You know, and I'm always easy to tell her about her stuff. I said, look at that over there. What are you going to do with that stuff? I even told her one time, and this didn't go over real well. I said, if anything happened to you, I'm going to have a world-class yard sale. You know what she told me? She said, you need to have one now and get rid of your stuff. Okay. Don't we all have stuff? I got stuff. You know, Brother Tommy, when I started playing golf, here's the way it was. I went and I had to have me a set of clubs. I got a good set. I got those what's called sense-of-core shafts. Not many of you are going to understand this. I won't stay there long. But I got so into golf, I went and took a class, learned how to build clubs, learned whatever shaft was, learned the difference. I found myself with three different sets of golf clubs. Every driver that come out, I thought if I just had that driver, if I just had that new wedge, whatever, I thought I would be there. You know, I finally realized it wasn't helping, and I quit doing that. Okay? But here's the point. I've got stuff. You've got stuff. We live in this life, we have stuff. There's a friend of mine that had so many old cars, he had to build a big garage just to park his cars in. I like to go by there when he's got the gate up and just look. You know, he's got them lined up in there. Stuff. And you know, the truth is, there's nothing wrong with stuff. Okay? I like my stuff. There are things about life that I enjoy. I'm not miserable. Okay, but here's, just stay right here just a minute. We're going to get into this. That stuff has to have its proper place. You know, all the things that I enjoy, number one, they cannot come before me taking care of my family. I have a responsibility to my wife and my sons to make sure that their needs are met first. And if that's done and I'm not taking from God to do it, and I can have those things, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the outdoors. There's nothing wrong with collecting old cars. My dream car is a 67 Camaro, okay? I just don't, I'll be honest with you, if I had one, I'd be trying to sell it because I ain't got nowhere to put it. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But as we read through this scripture, I want you to look at this title, When Stuff Is All You Have. You know, the difference as Christians, we come in here and we talk about that and we can joke a little bit about it and we can kind of make fun, and sometimes I'll pick at my wife about it and she'll pick at me about it. But the truth is, we've got so much stuff now, we don't know where to put it. But the difference in you and I as Christians, if we're saved by the grace of God, is stuff is not all that we have. But you know, there are many people going through life today that the truth is, stuff is all that they have. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't have peace in their heart. And they hold on to that stuff so tightly that when it's pried out of their hands, it's very, very painful. You know, there's nothing in life that you should hold on to so tightly that when God takes it away from you, it breaks your fingers when He pulls it away. And what I want you to look at as we look at this scripture, I want you to see the parable of the rich fool. And I want you to see what happens when stuff is all you have. Go back to the 17th and the 18th verse, and I want to give you the first point. When stuff is all you have, you will never be satisfied with stuff. Now, the scripture says fruits and goods. But you know, sometimes when I go to the grocery store, or I go to Walmart, or I go to Academy, and I write on the line, stuff. It's just more stuff. But what about when stuff is all you have? If stuff is all you have, you will never be satisfied with stuff. If you look at the 17th and the 18th verse, it says, the man says, it says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. You know, something that's happened over the past about 25 or 30 years in the United States and in this part of the country is house plans have changed. I can remember when I was, you know, in grammar school and we lived over in Lithia Springs, we had a closet that when you opened the closet door, you pulled a little accordion door. The closet was about this deep and it was about this wide. And you put your clothes here and your stuff down here. But now when houses are built, one of the biggest rooms in a house is a walk-in closet. We have a walk-in closet for him, and we have a walk-in closet for her. Because we have so much stuff. But here we are in the world today to where people, the more they have, the more that they want. Because that's all that they see is what they can touch and what they can hold in their hands. The greatest things in life are not the things that you can hold in your hands. I have a little thing that's up on the wall. It's one of those calendars. You know how you peel back the pages. I saw this on a guy's desk at work, and I said, when this day passes, I want that page. And this is what it says. It says, when I take inventory of the things in life that matter the most, I find that none of them will have been purchased with money. Now you think about that for just a minute. There's nothing that I have at home that I would not be willing to get rid of to save my health. There's nothing I have at home that I would not be willing to get rid of to help my children. There's nothing that I have at home that I would not be willing to get rid of if it took it. If, here's the if. If it took it for me to have peace with God. For me to have salvation. You see, because when stuff is all you have, you're never satisfied. You see, people who have stuff, they have possessions. Sometimes they want status. Sometimes they want fame because this life is all that they have. This life is all that they see. I heard a well-known billionaire was asked the question, how much money would it take for you to be satisfied? A billionaire. You know what his answer was? A little more. A little more. And that's usually the way it is. It doesn't matter how much is in the 401k. It doesn't matter how much is in the bank account. It doesn't matter how much you have. A little more, a little more, a little more is how much it takes. People want more because that's what they have. See, this man had a problem. He had a lot of stuff, but he didn't have contentment. You see, I've known people in my life that did not have a whole lot, but when you get around them, they knew Jesus. And there was something that just glowed about them and something just come off of them that you just wanted what they had when in reality in worldly goods, you might have had a whole lot more, but you didn't have the peace with God they had. You didn't have the joy in your heart that they had. And you see those kind of people and you wonder what makes the difference. It's contentment. You know, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, I learned a lot about this scripture just by watching my dad. You know, sometimes, and it doesn't bother me at all when I hear people in the church talk about Pastor Quinn. I want you to know, here's the only thing I'll say is I wish I had a privilege of knowing him. That's all. That's the only thing that I think of when I hear it. So don't ever think that it bothers me because, folks, it doesn't. Because y'all will hear me talk about my dad. Okay, I grew up with a Christian father that we didn't have a whole lot. We had what we needed. We had what we needed because my daddy got up and he went to work whether he felt like it or not. He got up and he went to work when he was sick. He would come home and he would sit down tired and my mother had cooked. And he would sit and read the Word of God in front of us. And he showed us what it was like to live a Christian life and be willing to do what you're supposed to do and not blame somebody else for every fault in your life and give God the glory for what he's doing. We're missing that in America. Yesterday when we did our survey about if you could go back to any year, where would you want to go back to? And I began to think about it just a minute. And I thought about 1955. And then I thought about, well, what year? Here's two reasons. One is you could go back to those times. Folks, they didn't have what we have. They didn't come into church with ceiling fans and air conditions and four or five bathrooms and a big kitchen where you got a warmer for all your food and you bring your fried chicken in and you have your fellowship. They went to church in the summertime when they sweated. I can't stand that. I can't stand that. But you know why I wrote down 1960? It's because I miss I miss going to church when the Word of God is preached and people come running to the altar and they fall down and you get to see them 10 or 15 saved at the time and you have baptizing. I can remember when I was young we had revivals. And we would raise the windows around the side of the church and people would stand outside and listen because they couldn't get into the house. See, when stuff's all you had, you'll never be satisfied with stuff. But when you realize that there's more to life than stuff, you'll appreciate stuff a whole lot more. Don't love the world. Love the Lord. The second point. It says when stuff is all you have, you have a false sense of security about your stuff. You know, I can remember just a couple of years ago getting my 401k statement. You know, they used to send them in the mail. Now, I get constantly, they want everything to go electronic. I like to touch it. Send me my bank statement. Send me my 401k statement. I'm old-fashioned. All right. But I used to get it, and I'd look at it, and you know what? I was thinking about it. Now, folks, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to be with the Lord, okay? But when I leave, somebody else is going to get all that. But I don't know how soon. I don't know how soon. I may need it one day. So, yes, just like you, yes, I am putting money in the 401k if I have one. Or an IRA or a savings account or whatever. You need to plan for it because you can't count on the government to take care of it. So I'm putting it in there, and I'm looking at it, and you know, all of a sudden we get into the years of 2007 and 2008, and then here comes 2009, and all of a sudden the housing market's falling. All of a sudden the stock market's falling. It drops down to about 7,500, and all of that money that I worked for 15, 20 years putting in there is cut in half. I mean, it's down to half, and you know what I thought? If I had the crystal ball, I would have pulled it out. And then when it started back up, I'd have put it back in. But we don't know that. And here's the point. You get a false sense of security about your stuff. It's temporal. It can be gone tomorrow. There's nothing that you have that when you get home today, you could go home after church and your house and everything that you have be burnt to the ground. We were coming home from church a couple of months ago on a Sunday night, and off through the trees, the subdivision behind ours, I could see fire going up. A house was burning, and I mean, it was really going up. And I looked over there, and I could hear people hollering through the woods, and there were fire trucks there. Somebody lost everything that they had. Now, folks, I've known preachers that have gone through this. I've known Christians that have gone through this. I can remember times growing up seeing my daddy go through struggles. You see, being a Christian doesn't make you immune to those things. Being a Christian gives you the hope that there's more to life than what's on this earth. This man's security was in temporal things. It could all be gone in a moment. And that's why during the Great Depression, people were jumping out of windows of buildings to their death. Because they lost millions of dollars in a day. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is in eternity because we have security in knowing that we worship a living God. We have a false sense of security about our financial health. You know, now I want to tell you the truth. My 401k has come back to what it was and much, much more. Stock market right now is over 17,000. Unbelievable. But they're talking about another false bubble in the mixed dwelling units that they're building. Building them all over the country. Apartment buildings with mixed use, with shopping centers under the bottom of them. And yeah, there are some of them being leased, but they're saying it's going to happen again. I don't know what's going to happen. But I can tell you this much, if you're depending on this world, if you're depending on the things in this life, you're depending on the wrong things. Because everything that you have financially could be gone tomorrow. And then where would your hope be? What about physical health? You know, what about hoping and praying, Lord, I'm going to put this money up and I'm going to come to retirement and I'm going to be able to go and enjoy life. And then you get to the point that maybe you can. You know, I watched my dad be faithful and serve the Lord, and he was disabled at 49 years old, and I can remember he passed away at 58. When he got right in those times, he looked at my mother and he said, "Honey, I'm sorry that I've worked all my life, and the times we wanted to have together, we can't have." And it broke my heart. It breaks my heart for my mother. And if you know, it breaks my heart for me, because I miss the times that I could go sit on the porch and talk to him, because he was my mentor. But we don't know. We don't understand sometimes. But you are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed that you're going to have the health to even enjoy retirement, because you could get one bump come up on your body. Do you ever get a sore sometimes, maybe somewhere, and you look at it and you know it doesn't go away fast enough? And the thought ever go through your mind, well, I want to go to the doctor. Well, I really don't want to know. I really don't want to go to the doctor. Maybe you put a little more alcohol on it and you try to dry it up. Folks, I've done that. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because we're walking around with bodies right now, this fleshly body. Every person has cancer cells in their body. Every person is subject to disease. There's new disease coming into this country. And the truth is, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. False sense of security about your physical health. And here's another one that sometimes people don't think about. What about a false sense of security about your mental health? You know, I've always, and I thank the Lord for this, I can remember when the Lord called me to preach, going and hearing preachers that could quote Scripture. And God had His hand on them, and I said, Lord, I want that. You know, when I look at the world, I don't look at Michael Jordan and say, I want to be a basketball player. I said, Lord, I want to preach like Adrian Rogers. Lord, I want to preach like this one over here, that one over there. I said, just like Elijah told Elijah. I said, Lord, I want a double portion of Your Spirit on me. And I remember watching a preacher one time, and I said, Lord, I want to have a mind like that. He could get up and preach, and he would quote Scripture just like that. And you know, the Lord told me, He said, you got to do two things. He said, you got to get in the Word. I got me a little notebook about this big, and I started writing Scripture verses in it. Everywhere I went, it was in my shirt pocket. And I was praying. You know what I prayed? I said, Lord, I know they say that we only use a certain percentage of our mind. Would you help my mind to be opened up so it can be used for Your honor and glory? The Bible says we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. If you ask something from God and you're going to do it for God's glory, God can do great things for you. God began to speak to me and He began to help me. And I like the idea of being able to have a sharp mind. But sometimes people come up to me and they, I've had y'all done this to me. What's my name? And I say, brother. You know, it's kind of like a hard drive that's full. It's in there. But it doesn't come up real quick. And I have said, I have changed the subject. And not even listening to what they're saying, waiting on it to process and come up so I can speak to them. And I said, Brother Rand, Danny, I got it. Here's the point. Mental health. You have no idea. I used to go to church with a man, his name was Brother Bobby. He was a deacon down at Welcome Hill. First time when I was an associate pastor. Church that I grew up in. He was a good man. He was a man of God. But one day, he had a stroke. And I went to see Brother Bobby, and he knew who I was. But Brother Bobby couldn't do what he used to do. And I'll tell you, as I sat there with him and I talked with him and I prayed with him, I realized, you know, you don't know when your opportunity to serve God is going to be over. You don't know when the door of mercy is going to be shut, because for you to be saved by the grace of God, God's Spirit's got to speak to your heart, but you've got to be in a position that you can receive it. This man still had his mind, but we don't know how much longer we're going to have it. I can remember when Kendra's grandmother was alive. And they said she had Alzheimer's. We'd go up and sometimes she'd know who we were, sometimes not. Sometimes we'd go and she wouldn't know who we were till we got out the guitar and Kendra started to sing. Then she'd remember the songs and she'd start to sing with us. And we'd go see her regularly and We'd sometimes go, and sometimes it was good, sometimes not. You know, it got to the point that we went, she didn't know. You know, because this body, I want you to understand something. We're made up of a body, soul, and a spirit. Don't think because they're not responding to you in the flesh, they can't hear you in the spirit. Because the spirit is always very, very much alive. But we don't know. When stuff is all you have, be careful that you don't have a false sense of security about your stuff. See, when stuff is all you have, the third one. Let's look down at verse number 20, the first part of the verse. It says, but God said unto him, thou fool. When stuff is all you have, God says you're a fool. You know, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. You know, a lot of times, I don't know what it is that causes people not to come to the Lord. Maybe it's, maybe they just got so much stuff they're satisfied and they don't need God. Well, you need to understand, stuff could be gone tomorrow. Maybe they, I put it off as procrastination. I'm just going to wait and, you know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to change. The time to come is when God speaks to you. That's when it's time to come. Because, you know, sometimes, you know how blessed you are to be in a church where the Spirit of God is moving. It's great to be in a place where God will speak to you and where God will come and pull on your heart. I like for God to speak to my heart. This man was without conviction. See, if you read through this scripture, you find that I and my were his favorite words. Favorite words, I will do this. I will do that. I will build my barns and put my stuff in it. I will do this. I will invest and have more. I will retire with millions of dollars. I will go to these places. I will do that. But he had no conviction. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, the latter part of the verse, says that the people would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now let me tell you, sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, you know, you just don't enjoy golf much as I do, or you'd play it more. Yeah. You just don't enjoy bow hunting as much as I do, or you'd do it more. You just don't enjoy going to Alaska to catch salmon as much as I do, or you'd do it more. Now you just fill in the blank, okay? Folks, I might enjoy it more. But there are processes in life that we need to put things in their proper priority. And I'll tell you, based on what I understand from the Word of God, what it ought to be. It ought to be God first. And it ought to be family second. And it ought to be your job responsibilities third. And then it ought to be your hobbies fourth. And if you get that out of order, this man had it out of order, things are not going to be right in your life. This man didn't have his convictions right. He didn't have his vision right. He didn't recognize that there was more to life than stuff. You know, I do enjoy my stuff. I do. You know, sometimes my son will come down and he said, Daddy, open the safe and let's handle that stuff. Let's handle that stuff. But there's more to life than stuff. And you know, truth is, they've got to see it in me. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, it says, and take heed unto them. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's why that you can run into somebody that's got all kind of stuff. Like I heard a preacher, Larry Brown, preaching over in Alabama. And he said one of the richest men in the state was there when he was preaching. And he said, like I normally do, he said, I just enjoyed myself. And he said, and there was a man there that came up to me that was one of the richest men in Alabama. He said, I'd give half of everything I've got for just a quarter of the joy that you've got. And then he laughed and, you know, he said he was willing to give half of what he had for half of my nothing. Now think about that for just a minute. If you've got peace with God, you've got something the world wants. And the last one. When stuff is all you have no inheritance in eternity with God. Now that's sad to me. Look at verse number 20 in the first part of the verse. It says, but God has said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's going to get it? Who's going to get all that you've laid up? Who's going to get all that you've stored and all that you've saved if God comes and he says it's your time? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you need more than stuff. You need a relationship with the living God. That's what people need. You know, and it's not that being a Christian doesn't mean you can't have a good time. Folks, I just don't understand some of these people. I don't know anybody that's happier than me. I don't know, you know, I know what I've got inside. And sometimes I tell people this, I say, I'm as saved as you can possibly get. And they just look at me. They think, well, you think you're righteous. No, I'm telling you, Jesus paid it all for me. And I accept it. It's not about me, it's about him. And I understand it enough that you know what I did? I just got out of the way. And I said, Jesus, I need you. And I'm saved as you can get. And you know, I didn't have to give up playing golf. I didn't have to give up going to the woods. I didn't have to give up going fishing. And you don't have to give up shopping, ladies. But here's something that'll happen. When you get into a right relationship with God, when you get into a right relationship with God, and things are right in your life with God, you're going to find, and I heard Chuck Swindoll preaching on this, how God prepares you for the next step of ministry in your life. You're going to find that the things of God become important to you. You're going to find that maybe you'll want to do other things because you'll find the greatest joy that you have in life, like we talked about this morning, is when you can help somebody find Jesus. Matthew 16:26 says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What? You know, now think about this for just a minute. If stuff is all you have, when your life is over, who are you going to leave your stuff to? You go back to the start of the scripture, there was a man that came to the Lord and he said, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. There's a lady down where I work that come from a very affluent family, but she's not affluent anymore. She said, when my parents, she said, you know, I married a guy that didn't have a lot of money, and she said, my dad blessed it. She said, but when you get married now, y'all are going to be on your own and you're going to have to make your own way. And she said, we accepted that. She said, but you know, when my parents passed away, they were very wealthy. She said, but my brother took everything that they had, and he didn't give me anything. She said, and you know, I've struggled with that. And she said, but I've learned to cope with it. She said, because I'm a Christian and I'm saved. And I've got peace with God, and she's a member of a church there in Noonan. She's very active. She's like a lot of you ladies that bless this church so much. That there ain't a single event, she's not, you know, here she comes. Had to talk to her one day. She was coming down the hall in the morning at 8 o'clock. She had a strawberry cake and sausage biscuits feeding the whole plant. I said, you can't do that here. Go back, got to do that at church. But that's the kind of heart she's got. But, you know, they're struggling, and she needs to retire, but she can't because a brother took everything. But when I look at her and I think about it, she's richer than he is. She's richer than he is because she's got the right relationship with God. And he's not even a Christian. So who will you leave your life to when you die? But here's the most important question. Who will you leave your soul to? And I want to ask you, we're going to stand in just a minute and sing, but I want you to think about this. The most important thing you will ever do in your life is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's nothing more important than that. Nothing. And if you don't know that you're saved, I know right now that God's speaking to you. Because God is pulling on my heart and I know that the Spirit of God is here and God wants to save your life. And here's something that I believe God does. You say, well, I'm worried about what God will ask of me. Folks, God's not going to ask you to do anything He doesn't equip you to do. And when you get saved by the grace of God and you know the Holy Spirit down inside of you, you'll find your want-tos will change. And this is something that I believe. God will take who you are and not change you to where nobody will recognize you, but He'll turn you into the best you that you can be. Common misconception. He who dies with the most toys wins. It's not true. Here's the truth. He who dies with the most toys leaves more to somebody else. Never see a hearse followed by a U-Haul. King Tut missed it, okay, when he thought he would bury everything with him. As we stand to our feet, as they come to it with a song, if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're at peace with God, that you're saved by the grace of God, let me tell you, there's nothing more important than that. We're going to sing a song. We're going to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to come and pray, this church wants to pray with you. Now, young people, I want you to understand, there come a time in your life when God will begin to speak to you. And if you feel God tugging on your heart and God speaking to you, it's time. I can remember when I was about 12 years old in church, and I'd been in church all my life. I'd been in a lot of revival meetings, but I remember the first time. And you can't deny that. It's not me. I can't do that. I'm just a man. That's God. If you feel God tugging on your heart as they sing a song, this is your opportunity to pray. Would you please come? We'd love to pray with you.
Just as you
Don't you hear the Spirit call? Come just as you are. Come and see Christ my King. Come and live forever.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to sing one more verse. We're going to open the doors of the church. If you're here and you want to join this church and this is a place that you feel like you'd like to be a part, and I want to tell you it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. A lot of hardworking people here that love the Lord, and we need some more. We got a vision. God's got work for us to do. Amen. But if you feel like this is a place you'd like to be and you want to join this church, you can come either by statement. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you've been baptized by immersion, this is a Baptist church. You can come join. If you want to come, we got three lined up to be baptized. I believe we're going to have more when we do it. But we're going to have a baptizing before long. If you want to come and if you've never been baptized, we'll be so glad to sit down with you and talk to you about that. We're going to sing this one more song. You don't have to come. We're not trying to coerce you. Say, well, I've been visiting and now I feel uncomfortable. Look, it's not about that. We just want you to know that we want you to be welcome in the house of God. And I want to tell you before they sing, because after they sing this, and if nothing happens, we're going to pray. We're going to go home. Purpose of life is not stuff. It's about a relationship with God. You know, I could give you more scripture, but just think about it. What's life all about? We're only here a short time, we're gone. Don't miss out on the most important part. That's serving Him. If they sing a song and you'd like to come, you can still come pray. But if you want to join this church, this is your opportunity. This is Stephanie Davenport on my left. Now, Stephanie came Monday night to celebrate recovery and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And she wants to join the church by baptism. So we're going to be doing that soon. Amen. And on my right, this is Christy Kelly. And this is Jonathan and Logan. They finally shook my hand. It took them a minute. But they're going to join by statement of faith. Is that correct? So we got two here that to join the church, and we got some little children that we're going to try to raise up and nurture in admonition of the Lord. So we want to go back, and we're going to shake hands with them. Get a move that we accept them. Amen. Move in a second, they'll be accepted. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Amen. Any opposed? Amen. So we're going to walk back here, and we're going to be waiting to shake hands. And Brother Bruce Dutton, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?